ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्ट प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 8 Lord Krishna shows the universal form, text 32 onwards. Oh no, 32 has some purport. Yeah. So we read from text 32.
Ekada
kriramanas gopadarakaha Krishna mridang bhakshitavan Krishna mridan bhakshitavan Iti matre navedayan. One day, while Krishna was playing with his small playmates, including Balaram and other sons of the gopas, all his friends came together and lodged a complaint to Mother Yashoda. Mother, they submitted, Krishna has eaten earth. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here is another of Krishna's transcendental activities invented to please the gopis. First, a complaint was lodged to Mother Yashoda about Krishna stealing, but Mother Yashoda didn't chastise him. Now, in an attempt to awaken Mother Yashoda's anger so that she would chastise Krishna, another complaint was invented that Krishna has eaten earth. So, so I'll just go back a few verses that describes how Krishna was stealing butter, and all these pastimes of Krishna was actually to please or give pleasure to the residents of Vrindavan, the cowherd people. And in this way, Krishna, through his wonderful pastimes, transcendental pastimes, he actually submerges his devotees in an ocean of ecstasy. Iti driksha lilabhir ananda kunde shaghoshang nimajjantam akhapayantam. Damodarashtakam describes that how Krishna, through his pastimes, sha lilabhir ananda kunde, as if these pastimes are an ocean of nectar, and through these pastimes Krishna drowns his devotees in these oceans of nectar. And that is why Krishna is Leela Purushottam. Leela Purushottam means the personality of Godhead who is mainly concerned about his pastimes. His only activity is enjoying pleasure and giving pleasure. And that's the difference between Krishna's pastimes and Ramchandra's pastimes.
Ramchandra is Maryada Purushottam. Maryada means he is establishing the standard of morality, code of morality. And through his pastimes he is actually teaching how to lead a moral life, life of morality and ethics. That's why Ramchandra's activities are very wonderful, very wonderfully establishing the standard of morality. Whereas Krishna is Lila Purushottam. Ramchandra's activities are designed to teach people how to lead their lives. Whereas Krishna's pastimes are just meant for giving joy, pleasure to everybody who are around him. And that's why it has been described that Krishna's pastime shouldn't be imitated. One should never imitate Krishna's pastime. Because those activities only Krishna can enact, no one else. And if at all we want to imitate the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we should imitate Lord Ramchandra. Lord Ramchandra's pastimes can be imitated, not Krishna's pastimes. Like, we can see that in order to fulfill the promise of his father, Lord Ramchandra left his right over the kingdom and went to the forest. Ramchandra is married to only one wife, Sita Devi. And when Ravana, when Sita was in the captivity of Ravan, and Ramchandra rescued her, then there was a consideration about Sita's purity, so that no one questions about Sita's purity. She was put into a fire test. She had to enter into fire. And then when Ramchandra heard that some people were questioning Sita's character, Sita's purity, then he banished her, although she was pregnant at that time. So this way you can see, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Sita Devi is his eternal consort, but Ramchandra is acting in a very rigid way. And he is undergoing so many difficulties because of that. Lord Ramchandra's pastimes are practically very agonizing pastimes, very painful. Right. And but why Ramchandra is acting like that? He is simply teaching us how we should lead our lives, following the moral codes, following the codes of conduct of the scriptures. Whereas Krishna's activities are completely different. That's why he's Lila Purushottam. He is not concerned about what others are going to think about his activities. He is just acting according to his own sweet will. And that's why it has been advised that unless and until one is spiritually situated, unless and until one is considerably advanced, one should not enter into Krishna's, one should not delve into Krishna's pastimes. Because one may misunderstand and one may fall down. One may think that one may, what to speak of imitating Krishna's pastimes, one may even doubt why Krishna is acting like that. There are many people who question why Krishna is acting like that in an immoral way. We saw, especially in India, people often come up with that question, that why Krishna is acting like that. Why Krishna is establishing the standard of immorality. He is having an affair with so many young girls, and some of them are even married. if a unmarried girl has an affair, it may not be that bad. But when a married woman has an affair with somebody else, I mean, that's very bad. So, Prabhupada would always try to explain, when people would come up with questions like that, Prabhupada would always try to explain that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore He can act in whichever way He wants. And in one such encounter, somebody was still carrying on. No, why Krishna was dancing others' wives, and it's immoral. Then finally Prabhupada became so disgusted. Prabhupada just blasted at that man, blasted that person. He said that your relationship with your wife is immoral. He said, you stole Krishna's property and trying to enjoy her. That is immoral. Krishna is the supreme proprietor. For him, there is nothing immoral because everything belongs to him. He is the proprietor of everybody. And the most important consideration here is that that we must understand that there is why people think that these relationships are immoral, because they see it in the light of sexual relationship. But in the spiritual sky, there is no sex life. In order to enter into the spiritual sky, what to speak of spiritual sky, even in order to enter into Brahma Jyoti, one has to become a brahmachari, a perfect brahmachari. One cannot enter even Brahma Jyoti unless he is a perfect brahmachari, unless he has completely conquered sex desire. So what to speak of Vaikuntha and then Vrindavan? So in order to enter into that realm, one has to conquer sex desire. So where is the room for sex life in that area? The unfortunate thing is that they don't understand that the highest dealings between the Lord and His devotees in the spiritual sky, when reflected in the material nature, appears to be the most degraded activity. Because the topmost region of the spiritual sky, when reflected into the material nature, the topmost part appears to be the lowermost part. What is the highest relationship in the spiritual sky, when that reflection, the reflection of that relationship in the material nature is abominable, most degraded activity. But in the spiritual sky, it is the highest spiritual activity. Of course, Krishna has different types of dealings with different types of devotees. Some devotees are related to Krishna in friendship, some are related to Krishna in parental, and some are related to Krishna in conjugal. And in conjugal relationship, the most intimate is the parokiya, where the moral consideration of marriage is not there. In Dwarka, Krishna's relationship with the queens are based on wedlock, marriage, whereas Krishna's relationship with the gopis in Vrindavan is not based on that. It is just pure, unalloyed love. So, another such example has been given by Prabhupada, that about this, how this is the highest kind of relationship.
Of course, Prabhupada used to deal with different people in a different way. When somebody would challenge Prabhupada and wouldn't listen, Prabhupada would finally just smash the guy. Completely smash him. But sometimes when people would be little open to understand, then Prabhupada would explain. And one such explanation is that when a married woman becomes a devotee of Krishna, does anybody question that relationship? Even their husbands don't mind in most cases. Because developing our relationship with Krishna is the ultimate perfection of our life. So anybody who has any understanding of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead knows that developing a relationship with Krishna is the ultimate perfection of our existence. So whoever it may be, when someone develops a relationship with Krishna, it is considered to be the highest achievement. Whether a girl is married or unmarried, when she develops a relationship with Krishna, nobody feels that there is anything wrong with it. So in this way, Prabhupada pointed out, Prabhupada explained that how ultimate purity and ultimate perfection is to develop a loving relationship with Krishna. And those loving relationships can develop in four ways: in servitorship, in friendship, in parental, and in conjugal. And the highest is the conjugal relationship. Just as a young girl falls in love with a young boy, Krishna is that young boy. And their dealings are of pure loving exchange. Actually, in the material nature, what we are seeing is a perverted reflection of that. It is not that Krishna's pastimes are like that of the loving affairs between a young boy and a young girl. Krishna's pastimes with the gopis are unique in themselves. That's the ultimate perfection of relationship. In the material nature, it is reflected in the form of love affairs between a young boy and a young girl. Young boys and young girls are actually imitating Krishna's activities with the gopis in Vrindavan. Not that Krishna's dealings with them are like these relationships. And those relationships, and from that, at the most we can, do is try to understand what that loving exchange is like, how intense that love is from these relationships in the material nature. Like in the material nature, we see the relationship between friends. And that intensity of friendship, from that we can understand how those who are related to Krishna in friendship, in friendship, how they feel towards Krishna, and how their dealings are with Krishna. Similarly, the parents, we see how a mother loves her child. From that we can understand how Mother Yashoda loves Krishna, how Nanda Maharaj loves Krishna. And sometimes we see a child becomes naughty and he does all kinds of things. And from that we can also see like how Krishna gives pleasure to his parents by acting in that way. Like his being naughty as a little child is simply to give pleasure to his parents. And while he is giving pleasure to his parents, he is also giving pleasure to his friends. The friends are like when the friends see that the parents are trying to chastise their friend, they feel bad. And if when they see that their friend
is running away and the mother is having a tough time to catch him, then they have they feel excited. And probably in their own way, they can keep on encouraging. Run faster, run faster. Look, your mother is just about to catch you. And with the cowherd boys, Krishna has his very wonderful exchange. He and his friends sometimes go and tell them that, look, you can't take flowers from this garden. This garden belongs to us. And the gopis say, no, it belongs to Vrinda. The cowherd boys say, no, it belongs to Krishna. And then they have a fight among themselves. They say, okay, Lord, we'll go and report to Kamsa. And they say, okay, go and do that. And in this way they would have their exchanges. And then finally they would chase. The girls got they got so upset that they would chase the boys, and the boys would run away along with Krishna. They would run. But Madhu Mangal, because he's fat, he's little slow. And the girls with the gopis would catch him. And they would give him a tough time. he has a tough time when they're being chastised by them. So so here it is leading, this particular part is leading from how Krishna is actually trying to enrage Mother Yashoda. And when he didn't succeed, then he did something else. So the gopis, Krishna steals butter, and I'll just read from text 28. Observing the very attractive childish restlessness of Krishna, all the gopis in the neighborhood, to hear about Krishna's activities again and again, would approach Mother Yashoda and speak to her as follows. So here we can see their complaints are not really complaints. Their complaints are actually a ploy to hear about Krishna's wonderful activities. Our dear friend Yashoda, your son sometimes comes to our houses before the milking of the cows and releases the calves. And when the master of the house becomes angry, your son merely smiles. Sometimes he devises some process by which he steals palatable curd, butter and milk, which he then eats and drinks. When the monkeys assemble, he divides it with them. And when the monkeys have their bellies so full that they won't take more, he breaks the pots. Sometimes he gets no opportunity to steal butter or milk from a house. He will be angry at the householders, and for his revenge he would agitate the small children by pinching them. Then when the children begin crying, Krishna will go away. When the milk and curd are kept high on a swing hanging from the ceiling and Krishna and Balaram cannot reach it, they arrange to reach it by piling up various planks and turning upside down the mortars for grinding spices. Being quite aware of the contents of a pot, they pick holes in it. While the elderly gopis go about their household affairs, Krishna and Balaram sometimes go into a dark room, brightening the place with the valuable jewels and ornaments on their bodies, and taking advantage of this light by stealing. When Krishna is caught in his naughty activities,
the master of the house will say to him, "Oh, you are a thief," and artificially express anger at Krishna. Krishna will then reply, "I am not a thief, you are a thief." Sometimes being angry, Krishna passes urine and stool in a neat, clean place in our house. But now, our dear friend Yashoda, this expert thief is sitting before you like a very good boy. Sometimes all the gopis would look at Krishna sitting there, his eyes fearful, so that his mother would not chastise him. And then they saw Krishna's beautiful face. Instead of chastising him, they would simply look upon his face and enjoy transcendental bliss. Mother Yashoda would mildly smile at all this fun, and she would not want to chastise her blessed transcendental child. One day, so here we can see that this complaint, these activities went in vain. Krishna was not chastised by Mother Yashoda. They all came to complain about Krishna to Mother Yashoda, but when they saw the beautiful face of Krishna, they completely forgot about the complaint or that he needs to be chastised. They just become enchanted just by looking at his beautiful face. So here, one day while Krishna was playing with his small playmates, including Balaram and other sons of the gopas, all his friends came together and lodged a complaint to Mother Yashoda. "Mother," they submitted, "Krishna has eaten earth." So we'll just keep on reading since up to 35 at least. Upon hearing this from Krishna's playmates, Mother Yashoda who was always full of anxiety over Krishna's welfare, picked Krishna up with her hands to look into his mouth and chastise him. Her eyes fearful, she spoke to her son as follows, "Dear Krishna, why are you so restless that you have eaten dirt in a solitary place? This complaint has been lodged again. This complaint has been lodged against you by your playmates, including your elder brother Balaram. How is this?" Lord Sri Krishna then replied, "My dear mother, I have never eaten dirt. All my friends complaining against me are liars. If you think they are being truthful, you can directly look into my mouth and examine it." And then when Mother Yashoda looked into Krishna's mouth, what did she see? She saw that all the dust particles have become universes. She saw universe in Krishna's mouth. So that is how wonderful Krishna is. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, Krishna presented himself as an innocent child to increase the transcendental ecstasy of mother's affection. As described in the Shastra, Tarana Bhayan Mithokir Batsalya Rasoposhika. This means that sometimes a small child speaks lies. For example, he may have stolen something or eaten something and yet deny that he has done so. We ordinarily see this in the material world, but in relation to Krishna it is different. Such activities are meant to endow the devotee with transcendental ecstasy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead was playing as a liar and accusing all the other devotees of being liars. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kritapunna Punja, a devotee may attain such an ecstatic position after many, many births of devotional service. Persons who have amassed the results of a vast amount of pious activities can attain the stage of associating with Krishna and playing with him like ordinary playmates. one should not consider these transactions of transcendental service to be untruthful accusations. One should never accuse such devotees of being ordinary boys speaking lies, for they attain the stage of association with Krishna by great austerities. Tapasa brahmacharyena shamena cha damena cha. So, in the spiritual sky also there is apparent lying, but it's never a lie. Our acharyas often have pointed out that there is a very beautiful incident which has been presented, like how Krishna never lies. Whatever he says is the truth. Surdas composed the song that Krishna was stealing butter and Mother Yashoda caught her. So Krishna then says that, "Mother, I did not eat butter." And then Krishna gave various reasons. Where is the time to steal butter? In the morning I went to tend the cows, I came back in the evening, and Mother Yashoda still would not listen to that reasoning. And then finally Krishna told that, "You are dealing with me in this way because I am not your son." And that completely broke Mother Yashoda's heart. And then Mother Yashoda just embraced Krishna and started to cry. Then Krishna started to wipe Mother Yashoda's tears. Now in Hindi, "I did not steal butter, I did not eat butter" is Maya More, "Main nahi makhan khayo, main nahi makhan khayo." But when Mother Yashoda embraced Krishna and started to cry in that acute pain that Krishna told her, that she is dealing with Krishna, treating Krishna in that way because Krishna is not her son, real son. Then Krishna wiping in tears, then Krishna says, "Maya More, main nahi makhan khayo." "Yes, indeed I have eaten the butter." So this is how there is, Krishna's words always have two meanings. When he's saying no, it also can imply that indeed I have done that. "Main nahi makhan khayo" or "maine hi makhan khayo." It is I, "maine hi," it is I who has eaten the butter. So that's why it is important that we understand what is the purpose of Krishna's activities in that way. Like, first of all, we have to understand that Krishna is not an ordinary living entity. What to speak of a conditioned living entity. And the activities of a liberated soul is also beyond any blemish, beyond any doubt. So, what to speak of Krishna's activities, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And these activities are simply to give pleasure to his devotees. These activities are just for the sake of giving pleasure to his devotees. As I mentioned, the only purpose is leela, to give pleasure. Iti driksha leela bhir ananda kunde shaghoshang nimajyantam akkhapayantam. So, he is acting in this way simply to give pleasure to his friends, to his devotees.
And in this way we have to understand that Krishna's position is even beyond Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha there is Dasharas, there Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Narayan, and everyone else is his servant. In Vaikuntha, the predominant mellow is Dasyaras, and there is some Santaras, Santa and Dasya. But these three other mellows, friendship, parental and conjugal, they are not available in Vaikuntha. The only place they are available is Vrindavan. And these are the most intimate relationship. But in order to develop this intimate relationship, a very special arrangement had to be made. And that special arrangement is that Krishna had to become equal to them or inferior to them, equal to his devotees or inferior to his devotees. Like they, Krishna, these relationships could not be developed, could not develop if that awareness was there that Krishna is God. If that understanding or awareness was there that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then these relationships would never be possible. Because friendship takes place among equals. So who can become equal to God? Parental relationship is from parents to their child, who is their subordinate. So how anyone can become superior to God? It's not possible. Therefore, in order to make it happen, like nobody can become equal to God, but God can become equal to his devotee. And that's what Krishna is doing in Vrindavan. He has become small. Although he is greater than the greatest, here he has become small. Like an ordinary cowherd boy. And thus he is allowing these relationships to take place. Otherwise, these three mellows would never have been experienced by devotees. Friendship, parental and conjugal, these three mellows could never have been experienced. Now the supremacy of Vrindavan as the topmost region of the spiritual sky has also been established in this way. In the Sandarvas, Jiva Goswami pointed that out. Like, why is Krishna is the supreme? Why not Narayan? And he has taken this course that these five relationships must be existing in the spiritual sky. Otherwise, how can whatever is existing in the material nature must be existing in the spiritual world? So there are five relationships: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhu. Now, Shanta is very easily available, or very distinctly, prominently there, manifest. The yogi is meditating in Shantanas. Then Dasya also, in Vaikuntha we find that. Devotees are serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the Supreme Lord and Master. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everyone else is a subordinate, so everyone else is a servant. But then, beyond that is Shakya. Now in Vaikuntha we don't find Sakhyas. Searching for Sakya, we come to Ayodhya. There, Hanuman, Lord Ramchandra is asking Hanuman, in the height of their loving exchange, Hanuman, please tell me what you want.
just want anything.
And Hanuman is saying, my Lord, if you so desire, give me your embrace. So here, Dasya is kind of coming to Sakya, friendship, equality, embrace. But still, that relationship is not really properly manifest. Friendship is not properly manifest. It's just a touch of friendship in Ayodhya. But in Dwarka, we find Krishna has friends. Uddhav and there are other, Arjun. His friendship is more mature, developed friendship. But we don't find parental love in Dwarka. Because although Devaki and Vasudev are Krishna's mother and father, but they know that Krishna is God. Therefore, the parental love did not develop there properly. Now searching for the perfection, and then we find there also there is some conjugal relationship, but that relationship is like that of husband and wife, which actually is a servitorship. Husband is considered to be the master, and wife's position is like that of a maidservant. So, Lakshmi Devi also is serving Krishna like a maidservant. And the wife is like she thinks that she is the maidservant of her husband. So it's not really conjugal as such, you know, like. But then we come to Vrindavan. There we see the perfection of friendship, perfection of parental and perfection of conjugal love. So that is how Vrindavan is considered to be the highest region of the spiritual sky. Because if it's a matter of rasa, rasa is based on relationship. And the perfection of relationship is in Vrindavan. And in whichever way Krishna is acting in Vrindavan, whether as a child or a young boy, teasing the young girls, I mean everything is simply to give pleasure to his devotee. And through this loving exchange, he also is enjoying the joy. Anandamaya, Krishna is Anandamaya, and this ananda, pleasure, the source of that pleasure potency is Srimati Radharani. And she expands in order to increase the joy of Krishna in the form of the gopis. So very mercifully Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually has given this understanding. Before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this understanding was not there. Only a very, very few liberated souls from the spiritual sky, they had that understanding. And this understanding started to develop from Madhavendra Puri. Therefore, Madhavendra Puri has been considered to be the first, the seed. No, it's the seedling, not the seed, the seedling. And from that, from Madhavendra Puri, Ishwar Puri, and his other associates, other disciples, they enhanced that understanding. But then, in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this understanding has become perfectly manifest. Because Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani came to reveal this understanding. What is the unique situation of Krishna in Vrindavan? Krishna himself had to come to give it and enable us to have access to that.
What's the time now?
10 to 9.
10 to 9. Okay, I'll just briefly mention that and then I'll end the class. Nityananda Prabhu took Srila Jiva Goswami on a parikrama of Navadvipa. He showed different places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes to Jiva Goswami. And after the parikrama, Nityananda Prabhu started to explain to Jiva Goswami about the purpose of Mahaprabhu's coming to this planet. Krishna's coming as to Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And he explained that after performing his Braja Leela in Dwapar Yug, Krishna considered that he had revealed this most extraordinary pastimes of Vrindavan. But how will anyone ever enter into Vrindavan? And his reasoning actually is like this, that devotees naturally render service to Krishna in Vaidhi Bhakti. Their devotional practice is following Vaidhi Bhakti. That's a must. Everybody must render devotional service in Vaidhi Bhakti, following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. It has even been mentioned that Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Bidhing Bina Oikantiki Harir Bhaktir Utpatoiva Kalpate. Oikantiki, very earnest devotion, Oikantiki Harir Bhakti, very earnest devotion to Krishna, Hari, becomes just a disturbance. If one render devotional service without following the injunctions of the Shruti, Smriti and Purana and Pancharatra Vidhi, then even if that devotional service is extremely earnestly rendered, very sincerely rendered, without any other desire but to please Krishna, still it will become a disturbance. Utpata iva kalpate. So, this indicates that devotional service must be rendered according to the injunctions of the scriptures, meaning devotional service must be rendered through Vaidhi Bhakti. But, when one achieves his perfection in rendering Vaidhi Bhakti, do you know where he goes? What's the destination of the Vaidhi Bhakti? Vaikuntha. So devotees will naturally render Vaidhi Bhakti, and by perfecting Vaidhi Bhakti, one will enter into Vaikuntha. Now, entering into Vaikuntha means that's it. From Vaikuntha, you cannot go to Vrindavan. From Vaikuntha you can go to Ayodhya. From Vaikuntha you can go to Dwarka. Because they are the upper regions of Vaikuntha. Higher regions of Vaikuntha. But Vrindavan is way beyond Vaikuntha. Way beyond Dwarka even. Even from Dwarka you cannot go to Vrindavan. Brihad Bhagavatamritam explains the Gop Kumar's journey back to Vrindavan. What does it describe? He went to Dwarka. But Narad Muni advised, when Narad Muni saw that his relationship with Krishna is in Vrindavan, Melo, then what did Narad Muni advise him? To come down to the earth planet in Bhoma Vrindavan, in the Vrindavan on the earth planet, perform Sankirtan, and then go back to Godhead. Go back to Vrindavan. So even from Dwarka, if we had to go to Vrindavan, we have to come down to the earth planet. So Krishna became really concerned
I reveal my Vrindavan pastimes, but how will one ever enter into Vrindavan? Because they'll render devotional service in Vaidhi Bhakti, and by attaining perfection in Vaidhi Bhakti, they'll go to Vaikuntha. Therefore, Krishna decided to come as a devotee. When this devotee, Supreme Personality of Godhead, is rendered devotional service in Vaidhi Bhakti, following the rules and regulations of the scripture, then he becomes eligible to enter into Vrindavan. So the way to enter into Vrindavan is only by following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following Vaidhi Bhakti. And what is the Vaidhi Bhakti? Vaidhi Bhakti means? Vaidhi Bhakti means following the instructions of the scriptures. So what is the instruction of the scripture? How to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Krishna Varnam Tisha Krishnam Sanga Pangastra Parshadam Yajnai Sankirtana Prayair Jajantihi Sumedha. So the way to render service unto Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sankirtana. Yajnai Sankirtana Prayair. So one renders devotional service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu following the scriptures in Sankirtan Yajna. And what is the result? The result is he will find himself in Vrindavan. Just by doing that, he'll find himself in Vrindavan. That also has been explained how? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Ramananda Roy, and they had their beautiful exchange. Mahaprabhu was asking questions, Ramananda Roy was answering. So in this way, asking through question-answer, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the point of devotional service in conjugal love. And in that devotional service in conjugal love, the highest form of loving exchange takes place between Radharani and Krishna.